is the DJ.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Greetings of peace to everybody all around the globe. You're tuning into the Dean Show. And we got a young brother who just graduated from Loyola University. And he got up there and he gave his speech. And he talked about some beautiful advice about wasting time, not wasting time, doing good. And this is a Muslim. And you see the media usually betray Muslims as fanatics. As soon as they start practicing Islam, you got to work under the radar. But this young brother is practicing his deen. He's praying. But before that, he was an atheist. That's right. He was an atheist. So we get some emails in sometimes where you got some Muslims. They come from a Muslim background. And, you know, we know that this is something illogical, you know, to not believe in the Creator. How can you deny the Son? It's right up there. But the Maker who made the Son, you're denying Him? Come on now. And he was one of those atheists. So for the atheist, the skeptic, you know, the person who just doesn't believe, but he's tuned into the Dean Show, you're going to want to sit tight through this episode so you can learn and benefit from his experiences. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Peace be with you. Walaikum assalam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
You know what, man? I'm really excited, you know, because, you know, I opened the show and I talked about someone who was an atheist.
Right.
And now you're one who has consciously made the decision that, you know what, Islam is the truth based on proof. And many people, they go through the rituals. They're praying, they're fasting. But you know what? Or not even that. You know, they're going through it, but they don't know why they're doing it. You know, now are you doing it with full conviction that this way of life is from the Creator?
Yeah, of course. But after having gone through that journey over the past 4 years.
Well, how did you end up going through that journey? Because your parents are actually Muslim.
Right.
Were they praying? Were they implementing Islam?
Yeah, they tried their best to do so.
Yeah. So let's go back in history. We want people to benefit from your story because there's a lot of people in this similar situation that you are in.
Right.
So hopefully they can hear your experience, benefit from them, and then, you know, make a conscious decision that, you know what, this way that I'm upon is doesn't make sense, right? But what he's doing does make sense. So let's begin from the beginning. How did it start?
Well, I started back in high school where me and my friend, one of my best friends actually, we started having doubts about the religion because we were never actually taught what the religion says. It was just like pray, fast, go to the mosque whenever you can. And that was about the extent of our religious knowledge. And then towards our senior year of high school, Bill Maher came out with a movie called Religious. And we both watched that and we both became atheists after that point. So when I started college, I was already atheist. But I want to qualify that when I say atheist, it wasn't like it was some logical reasoning that I went through to come to that point of being an atheist. It was more like I was never taught that religion. So I was just atheist to the idea of a God. So when you think about Richard Dawkins, he describes how he feels about fairies and unicorns. He says that I am atheist to the idea of a unicorn, so I'm an a-unicornist. I am an atheist to the idea of a fairy, so I'm an a-fairyist. In the same way, he was an atheist to the idea of a God. And that's kind of how I was. I had no reason to believe. I had no reason to really think about it. No one ever talked about it with me. None of my friends ever talked about religion. The extent of my religious knowledge was that we can't eat zabiha meat. And that's pretty common in most Desi families.
SubhanAllah, that was like, as much as you know, you can't eat halal meat, zabiha meat. That was it.
That was it. All I knew was that there was Allah, there was a man named Muhammad, and he had a friend named Abu Bakr.
Yeah.
I had no idea what hadith was. I never heard that word hadith in my life. I never heard of what a sahaba was.
Yeah.
I never heard there's something called Nabi or Rasul. I never even knew the Quran was actually the word of Allah. All this time I thought the Quran was a word of just a bunch of Arab men in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That's all I knew, like literally.
So now you see this movie, which the movie's really bashing Christianity. It's showing the inconsistencies in Christianity. That's what the movie's really about.
Yeah.
So it's showing, you know, some of the absurdities, you know, that are in the Bible, you know, and we're never trying to disparage against anyone. And we take strong exception when someone disparages against God, any of the prophets, Jesus being one of them, because we love Jesus and Moses and Abraham, the last and final message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But you'll see certain things in the Bible that we can't attribute to God or any of the prophets. That's clear. They're contradictions. He exposes, but Bill Maher is his name, right?
Yeah.
He exposes those things. But now that you investigated, did you obviously now, you didn't know, but now have did you thoroughly investigate Islam, the Quran?
Yeah, I did eventually, but in the beginning, I thought that, well, if Christianity's messed up, then Islam must be messed up. I just don't know. I don't care. I don't want to think about it. I have no reason to think about it. That's kind of how I was. I was just agnostic or atheist to the idea of any religion in general.
Does some pressure, peer pressure, come from that? Because most people, they, you know, they want to follow their desires. They want to, like, because it's a responsibility now. If you believe in the Creator, you have to believe that, like, look, He's the most wise. He didn't just create us and leave us without a purpose. So you didn't want to just think about all that and you put that all to the side?
It wasn't like I had any real desire.
No.
I wasn't ever partying, never had a girlfriend, never smoked weed, never drank. It was just that I just didn't know. I was very ignorant. And no one ever really encouraged me to learn. So I just didn't care to learn.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, this is just all made up. It's all baloney.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to know about it. I don't care about it. No one talks about it. None of my friends ever talk about it. We never pray together.
What I mean, you're fairly young, so what do, you know, the people who are in your age bracket, younger, older, what was usually the conversations like?
Just sports, school. Like when I was in high school, I was in a lot of AP courses and sports, so we talked about that. We talked about working out. We talked about what supplements to take. A lot of my friends had girlfriends. They'll talk about that.
Come on, girlfriends got to be on the top of the list now, women.
Well, for me, honestly, I just always found women kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So I never liked any of them.
Huh? Well, but so, now someone thinks, man, this guy's, you know, weirdo. He's going the other way. Is that?
I know, that's what I mean. Like, my story is kind of different than most people. It's not like I was addicted to drugs or women that caused me to despair.
But you're planning to get married soon, right? Did you get married yet?
No, not yet.
But are you planning to get married?
Yeah, inshallah, I would like to, but.
Okay, may Allah find you, the Creator finds you, help you find a good, righteous woman, mashallah. So tell us now, what, the conversation, sports, women, and, you know, did anyone ever bring up, like, purpose of life?
Oh, no.
Never?
Never.
Why do you think that is?
We never knew about it.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about it.
Okay, you go to school and there's a purpose. Right.
Obviously,
you know, you have a curriculum, you got to go to class. But what about, like, our existence? No one even bothered to think, you know.
No.
I mean, it's not like, you know, I grew up, people were talking about it. Now that I look back, it's a blessing that you're living the purpose of life. But before, it's just like you're thinking, how could I have not thought about that?
It never came up in conversation. I didn't know there's something called a day of judgment.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know that. That's like the basic tenet of our religion. We die, then we go back and get judged. I didn't know that was even existent.
Does that make more sense now?
Oh, yeah,
to think about it, right? Because people are dying every day. It's like a conveyor belt. Some people come into this life and then leave this life. And then where do you go?
We never thought about it.
No. Are you happy now that you've thought about it? You know,
now,
that you're preparing for it?
Yeah.
Okay, so continue on. Okay, you're in school. You mentioned, I mean, how did you, for someone young in college, people go to college. Okay, it's like the Creator protected you from that, but
yeah,
we know it's a reality that people go to college for the experience, man. For the parties, you know, the frat parties. Is that what they're called, frat parties?
Yeah, frats.
And you had like 17 floors. How many floors,
so
women?
In the dorm I lived in, there was 19 floors in total called Mertz Hall. And I mentioned that in my speech, actually.
Yeah.
And there's only 4 floors of boys, and the rest is all women.
That's like, for some men, a heaven sent. They're like, I'm going to that school. Right, some guys would just go to school for that.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because one of my friends, before coming to college, he texted me, where should I live in terms of dorms?
Yeah.
And I said, look, man, I recommend you stay away from Mertz Hall. But he's like, no, I kind of like Mertz Hall. I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
He's a Muslim guy, too.
Yeah.
Even though after I told him not to go there.
Uh-huh.
And that's where he applied.
Yeah. So how did you, there's a lot of mixing between the men and women.
Yeah, very common.
Yeah. So obviously from there, I mean, you put men and women together, there's going to be some trouble that happens, huh? People are dating, hooking up, you know, is that happening?
Yeah, it happened every
daily,
night.
Right?
Yeah,
just like, daily, right? It's just like chewing gum, huh?
Yeah, I would wake up in the morning, there'll be some girl passed out on my dorm floor
or something.
There'll be like vomit all over the bathrooms.
Vomit, I mean, so how did you not get caught up into all of that?
I don't even know. It's Allah's mercy. He kept me away from all those sins.
Yeah. I mean, you can't tell, just this is off the subject, but I know any woman that just, you know, wakes up like that, or man, you know, it's kind of cool in our society. I mean, I've been there, done that, where you see that, and it's kind of cool that the man, he's slept with all these women, right? He's like a hero. But has it become today where, how about the woman now? I mean, have you seen from your experiences, can a woman like go home, you know, to mom and dad's house, and she's got a resume that she's like been with 30 guys from the dorm? They just like, you know, she's been on Maury Povich.
You are the father.
She's been on Maury Povich, maybe can't figure out who the baby's daddy is.
I think that's the hypocrisy of the culture, where if a man does it, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
If a woman does it, she's looked very down upon.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to live the organic way of life that's pleasing to the Creator, because, I mean, Jesus wouldn't obviously promote fornication. Yeah. And even if you're a Christian or a Jew.
When a woman gives a man this before marriage, she is a nitwit of astronomical proportions. That's you would never build a house and pay the contractor in advance.
Or, you know, a person of God consciousness, you got to realize that's wrong. You don't have your conscience in the beginning saying, yeah, go ahead and do it, right?
If you were just to give it to him, you would be a nitwit, a moron. That's what women are doing today. They're coughing this up front, which is every man's basic fundamental interest in a woman. You've already given him everything he wants. And then he sit around saying, well, aren't you gonna marry me? Aren't you gonna spend more time with me? Aren't you gonna... No, he's not. Because you're an idiot, that's why I don't do that.
I think it's one of the reasons is because I had a little sister, and if I never wanted someone to do anything to her, I don't want to do something to someone else's sister.
Yeah.
If there ain't no ring, you ain't getting the thing, is what you need to tell him.
Yeah, women are more precious than, you know, just a piece of meat.
No, seriously, girl, I don't know what. There's something that really happened in the female culture. I think it's because of the women's lib thing, and they think, well, now we can go out and we can be as sexual as men and stuff like that. But they are fighting against their own interests. There are millions of women in America today that are so frustrated they can never get this. They can never get this. You know why? Because they're dumb. I'm serious. I don't mean it in a mean way, but they're doing a dumb thing by just coughing this up to every guy that comes along. Thinking this, it doesn't work that way.
That's why we're trying to give some good advice to our sisters in humanity to beware the dogs, right? Yeah. So we'll be talking about more of this, your story here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
It's like, when did you think that you had no purpose? Are you worthless? The value comes from purpose.
Your purpose in life is to worship the Creator, not worship your desires and self, not worship social pressure, the celebrity culture, but worship the thing that's much higher and transcendent, above and beyond. By worshiping God and seeking His pleasure, you get pleased. So you have double pleasure.
Back here on the Dean Show, we're getting your perspective. I just want to go off on this real quick because we want to help save our sisters in humanity, you know, because I think it's very important for her to get a guy's perspective. They did also, like, this is not Muslims doing this, but they did on college campuses asking, can men and women be friends?
Yeah,
do you
see
that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
I mean, men, what are our men's minds? I mean, you're in a unique situation, but what do most men want to do with women?
Well, I think it's kind of obvious, but...
They just want to get their way, isn't it? Fulfill their desire.
Basically, yeah.
Basically, yeah. I mean, we just want to witness that from someone who just graduated and was on the dorms. You were on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like all my friends would just talk about that. Every day it was like, I wonder if I could get with this girl. They had something called a gentleman's challenge where like a bunch of guys on my floor were trying to sleep with this one particular girl. And it was called a gentleman's challenge. There's nothing gentleman about it, but...
A gentleman, so describe it. So there's guys who are betting a gentleman's challenge if they can get with a specific woman.
Yeah, that was a gentleman's challenge freshman year.
That's oppression of the woman right there. I mean, and it's sad that the woman's gotten caught up into this whole, you know, game. And right. Then she ends up getting used and abused, you know, turned like a door handle with so many guys. And then what you got? You just tainted your soul.
Yeah, I've seen this so many times.
Yeah.
So many times.
So many times. So what suggestion would you have for the women?
I would just say that just know if a guy's a jerk. It's kind of easy to tell just from the stuff he talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And most guys in the age of 18 to 22 are not thinking with their brains.
Yeah.
They have no intention of getting married at that age.
No intention. You know, unless they're really God-fearing, you know, they want you to meet their parents, the parents are involved, but this is like old-fashioned nowadays. But it's the truth.
Well, that's an honest reality.
Yeah.
Most guys are not thinking about that.
They're not. And women think by giving the man sex that they'll get him to fall in love, but they're just fooling themselves.
Yeah. I've seen it so many, even Muslim women, it happens.
Yeah. So
it's not something unique to the American non-Muslim culture anymore.
No. And if, again, if you're a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, you know, Islam is about preserving the family, you know, preserving the society. By preserving the family, you preserve society and you got a healthy environment. You know, instead of all these abandoned children, STDs, broken homes, broken societies, and women just, and men with just broken minds and broken hearts. That's a fact. Is it fiction?
It's a fact.
It's a fact. So let's go back to your experience now. You know, you were an atheist. What happened to have you overcome that, you know, and to come to where you're at today now? A Muslim, one who is submitted to the will of God, the creator of the heavens and earth. Talk to us.
Well, what happened was that my freshman year when I was in the dorms, one of my friends named Jamal, he told me that we're going to have Ramadan prayers, Tarawih prayers, for those 30 nights on campus. And then I said, okay, fine, I'll come. But then I didn't go to any of them. I was on campus, I could have easily walked in 5 minutes and gone to the prayers, but I decided not to. And then I kind of felt bad, for whatever reason, I just kind of felt bad that I didn't go. And then I saw these posters up everywhere that there would be an MSA event for an Eid dinner, just to celebrate the end of Ramadan. And so I went to that, and I didn't know anybody there. And so I'm sitting there alone, there's hundreds of people, men and women, faculty, even non-Muslim faculty who come just to support the MSA. And then this brother, Ali Hazama, I remember him very clearly, he starts reciting the Quran. And honestly, that was like the most beautiful thing I had ever heard in my life. Because when I was growing up, I used to write rap music and hip-hop lyrics and record them myself, like make my own CDs. I never published them like for resale.
You wanted to be a rapper?
Oh yeah, I used to write songs myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you were like trying to do this stuff?
Yeah, I used to record myself.
Because you got
to
do the hands, you know, like, yo, get that, jab, right?
Yeah.
Stock for the law. Yeah.
But I used to do that stuff. Yeah. I used to record myself.
You see how foolish that is now?
Yeah, I can't believe I was in there.
Were your hands like, or your jeans were down to your calves?
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
You can see my...
SubhanAllah. Okay, alhamdulillah, see?
So I went to, and this guy starts reciting, and it was just the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. And then what I do is I go back to my dorm room, and because we live in the age of technology, I go on YouTube and just type in Quran.
Yeah.
And I spent the next 3 weeks, about 6, 7, 8 hours a day, just listening to people reciting the Quran. And then one day, I actually come across a Deen Show episode from several years ago where you had Dr. Sabil Ahmed on it. It was something like proof or evidence the Quran is the word of God or something like that. And I clicked on it. And then I'm watching it, and I thought, oh, that's why it sounds so nice. It's Allah's words. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Even non-Muslims know that, but I just didn't know that fact. That's something that pretty much anybody knows,
mm-hmm.
that Muslims believe Quran is the word of Allah or God. I didn't even know that, but I was listening to this book for 3, 4 weeks, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, and had no idea until I watched a Deen Show.
Mm-hmm. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. Yeah. Tell us, you know, you're a medical student now, first year medical school, and to become a doctor, you have to fuel your brain with knowledge, right?
Right.
I mean, do you see now that you have to put some time into learning this way of life? You know, because many people will even memorize the verbatim word of God, the Quran, but if you don't internalize it, I mean, you do it for the barakah, the blessings, but if you don't know the meaning, there's no benefit behind it. How important is it to learn this deen, this way of life?
I think it's probably more important to understand even a few pages of the Quran than just to memorize it. Because I know many kids personally who memorized it and ended up forgetting it because they go into the party scene. I've seen that many times also. But I've also seen many kids who have maybe like the last 10 surahs memorized or last 10 chapters, and they're the most amazing Muslims I know because they really try to focus on what they know. They try to implement that into their lives. They go to the masjid regularly. They try to read about what they're learning. They watch lectures, they attend lectures, etc. So I think it's more important to understand even a little bit.
You, how do you feel? Because you have a lot of, you know, people who malign Islam. We know that Islam is a way of life that is from the Creator. It's not organized by human beings. It's organized by the one who created creation. And anyone who takes a sincere, humble look at it, reads the Quran, studies the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was a brother to Jesus, Moses, Abraham, you know, who called people to worship the Creator, not his creation, they will see that this is not a man-made religion, like you came to find out, right? So when you see people maligning it and trying to make it look like it's some fanatic, barbaric religion, and now you're someone who's, you know, graduated from university, going to be a medical doctor, God willing, you know, who's a productive citizen, what do you have to say to those people?
I would just say that don't make the mistake that I made. If you have a question about Islam, don't take it from somebody who either left the religion or someone who's not even following the religion. Because that's what I did. I had a question. I went to Bill Maher, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, all these famous atheists and agnostics. But then I didn't really think, like, why don't I go and talk to someone who's actually following the religion? And then when I started doing that, I realized what the religion is really all about. So if you have a question, talk to someone who is following their religion, not from someone else.
Okay, did you get a chance to look at myself? Speaking of myself, I opened up a world religions book. I wanted to make sure that this is way of life, because I think anyone who's come to Islam, we have a lot of Bible scholars, Christian scholars, you know, Hindus, people from around the world that they really took an analytical, scientific approach. They investigated Islam, because Islam is not calling you to blind belief. Allah is telling us in the Quran to think, to ponder. Where did this book, you know, أَفَلَا يَتَّدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, do they not consider the Qur'an with care? Had it been from other than the Creator, you would find much contradiction in it. There's no contradiction. The Creator is challenging you, right? So why? So I looked at Christianity, I looked at Hinduism, and all the other world religions, and it just doesn't make sense. You don't have to go too far, you know, into it. But the more you get into Islam, the more you're convinced. From your experience, I mean, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, your friends, people ask you, you know, why didn't you look at Christianity? Why didn't you say Jesus is your Lord and Savior? You know, why didn't you go into that after Christianity? Hinduism, what would you say?
Well, actually, when I was in college, my majors were history and religious studies. So I spent the last 3.5 years studying different religions. So it's not like anyone can tell me that I didn't look into other religions after my conversion. I did. I studied Hinduism, I studied Judaism, Buddhism. I mean, I was an atheist before, agnostic, kind of related. But I studied everything, but at the end, Islam still made the most sense.
It made the most sense.
Yeah.
Do you feel that anyone that would give it the time of day, right, didn't just, you know, you think it's a cop-out when someone just, okay, they come from a way of life, and again, we're not trying to disparage on anybody, we're just trying to have people think. They say, okay, this Trinity doesn't make sense, for instance, or worshiping, like, you know, the sun or the moon or 3,000 gods, you know, in some religions. And they just say, you know what, this is all man-made. They say, oh, I don't believe in any organized religion, but they don't give Islam a shot. Are they selling themselves off short?
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I watched Religious. He spent the most of the movie making fun of the idea of Christianity. And I interpret that as, well, if Christianity doesn't make sense, nothing makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the mistake I made. I didn't really bother investigating Islam.
Yeah, that you don't want to do that. It's like painting, you know, people with the same brush, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break and we'll be right back with more here with our brother, Mansoor, on The Deen Show.
And it's simple to understand.
I wouldn't know what the sky looked like, what the trees looked like. I would have never seen the faces of my beautiful children if I didn't have the ability to see. How blessed we are by Allah.
And obedience is born out of gratitude.
So thank Him, call upon Him, establish a relationship with Him, forget about the past.
Take it out of being a ritual and make it a spiritual experience.
Islam is not something dubious, unclear, hazy. It's really straightforward.
He said it changed his life. He said he saw every single episode that you had ever recorded.
Back here on The Deen Show, former atheist, graduate from Loyola University. Do you feel that the campuses, that's a lot of the professors, that they push atheism on the students?
I think some of the philosophy professors do. But in my experience, the Jesuit professors were actually the most open-minded, nicest, kindest people I've ever met.
For someone who doesn't know what that is, what is that?
A Jesuit is like a priest in the Catholic order.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
And they've always encouraged, you know, religious freedom and tolerance and interfaith. I mean, they even let me recite Quran at graduation. They let us do our own events, invite our own speakers. They gave us our own masjid with our own wudu center.
Yeah.
So that's really nice of them.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, obviously, you're praying five times a day.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
You're getting ready for Ramadan?
Yeah,
I'm trying. Alhamdulillah. Do you find it challenging? In a way that, you know, many people, they're neglecting salah because, you know, the dunya, you know, the worldly life is taking over. But you're studying, you're making time for salat.
Yeah.
Is this improving your life?
Yeah, I think it's better. I need that personal time to have my fajr time, isha in the masjid. I think it's better for me mm-hmm. than the times where I just neglect all that and focus on studying.
Yeah. What advice do you give for some people, old or young, you know, male or female, who they're just like, I'm just so busy, you know, I don't have time to pray. What do you tell them?
I think it's honestly just an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I that's what I really believe. People who want to pray, they'll figure out a way to pray.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't want to pray, they'll make any excuse not to pray.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
You'll take time to call your beloved on the phone 10 times a day, right? And those conversations will last more than 5 minutes, or maybe a cigarette break, right? Haram break. But to thank the Creator, you don't have a few minutes?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's all excuses.
It's excuse, huh? We really want to motivate people to connect with their Creator. You did something also. We are. It's an obligation on every Muslim, one of us submitted to the will of God, to share because we care the purpose of life with the world, and you took that opportunity. You know that's what got our attention here at the Dean Show. There's a video out there of you at your graduation.
Yeah.
And you're actually reciting, you know, part of the Quran, wal asr, you know, indeed, you know, all mankind is in a state of loss, except those who believe, right? Yeah. And follow that belief up with good deeds, good actions. Talk to us about this.
You mean like how I got selected?
Yeah, what made you want to, at your graduation now, you know, speech to recite the Quran?
Well, actually, I didn't want to even give the speech, to be honest with you. I just wanted to recite. So I emailed the president, Father Michael Garanzini. And he liked the idea, but because of his cabinet, they've decided it's best that I don't, because then the Hindu kids want to do something, and the Jewish kids want to do something, so they've decided it was best that we don't do that. So I just applied to give the graduation speech, and there's about 30 kids who applied, and I got selected from all those 30 kids, and the dean called me and told me that I've been selected, and then at the last day, the morning of the speech, I asked him, I'm like, hey man, can I recite Quran?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, sure, it's your day, do whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
That was his response. Exactly, that's what he said. It's your day, do whatever you want.
MashaAllah. So what happened? You didn't just recite the Quran because it's been preserved. We have it in its original, tamper-free, tamper-proof. It's for everyone who wants to take a look. But we have it now, and you gave the meaning behind it. You translated it, right?
Yeah.
What was this translation? Talk to us about it. What was the message behind what you said?
The basic message was just that we shouldn't waste our time and just to be sincere in everything that we do and to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to do good. And I use the example that even the Jesuits, they try to do their best for the world. They go everywhere, they try to feed the poor. I mean, like in whatever understanding they have, they're trying to do the best that they can. And that's something that I think every human should try to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever understanding that we have of our religions, we should try to promote those.
The main thing that we try to have people reflect on, to have that built on a foundation of pure monotheism, that we do it with the sincere intention to please the one God, pure monotheism. And that's what Jesus taught Moses, Abraham, and that's Islam, submission to the will of God. And you, alhamdulillah, you know, you were given this advice. So for the people that are stuck all day, you know, playing Xbox, Grand Theft Auto, you know, watching Jersey Shores, you know, just wasting time. Does this go back with the advice you were given?
Yeah, like most of my friends who I started school with, they're pre-med. They don't make it because they're every day they're staying up late, 2-3 in the morning, watching TV, playing video games, on Facebook or something. They wake up at 11, 12, 1 o'clock the next day. They miss class. Until this day, none of them are in medical school. But the kids who went to sleep on time, they woke up on time. They're also in medical school with me now.
Yeah. So before we cut out, you know, that's why we wanted to encourage people that, A, you can be one who is practicing the way of life from the Creator, and you can end up being a doctor, graduating from school, not ending up some fanatic, right?
Yeah, of course not.
So obviously you can be someone who's well-balanced. You can be the best in this life, because that's what the Creator wants for us, to be the best, but don't neglect your responsibility towards your Creator and preparing for what comes next, the Day of Judgment. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like you said, it's all about balance. There's nothing complicated about being successful. Mm-hmm. It's just about being able to, like, so I have a balanced schedule where I have time for the Quran, time for school, spend time with my family, I call my mom and dad every day. I just have everything in order now.
Mm-hmm. For the person that's also an atheist, agnostic, and they're kind of relating to your story, what advice would you give for them?
I would just say that if you have a question about Islam, talk to a Muslim, talk to several Muslims. I encourage you to go to the mosque, just try it out. No one's going to throw you out. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't, at least. I mean, that's what I used to do with all my friends who are formerly non-Muslims. I would just say, yeah, just pray with me. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just come to the masjid with me. And over the years, several of them did end up becoming Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And that was only because I kept an open arm to them and tried to read books on Islam. Not mistake that I made, which is go to an atheist or an agnostic or someone who apostated from their religion and ask that individual questions. It's best to ask a source from people who have knowledge. That would be my number one advice.
And you see people, most people, let's say, because you mentioned left, is because they weren't implementing it. They didn't understand it, right?
Yeah.
And they came and thought it was something like some hocus pocus, and you can just say, I believe, and you're going to be, you know, saved. No, it requires work. And you're starting to do the work, and you're starting to see the benefits?
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. May Allah reward you, the creator of the heavens and earth. So, and maybe when you graduate from medical school, we'll get you to give some advice here, how we can stay in better health, huh?
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah, God willing. We'll see you again. Thank you. Alayhi salam. And thank you for tuning in to The Deen Show. Take a look at this Quran. It's from the creator of the heavens and the earth. Take a look at it sincerely. And you look around you, you see the sun and the stars, you see the galaxies. It didn't just happen by chance. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense for any pondering person who really reflects and thinks. You look at the heavens and the earth and all the different beautiful things of creation. And there's no way that you can just come to that conclusion. All of that happened by chance. So really think about it and within yourself, ask. Do like one of our guests has shared with him, with us his story. He did the skeptic's prayer. He said, you know, if there is a God, if you're out there, guide me. Even start with that. Even start with that, because this way of life is only promoting goodness, or organic way of living. And that's what we're all shooting for, right? Whole foods, isn't it? We all want organic. Well, Islam is an organic way of life, calling you to everything pure, wholesome goodness. And at the end, what do you got? If you lived a good life, then you got paradise. But if you're an atheist and you just die, and then it's the hellfire is true, which it is, and paradise is true, which it is, but you didn't work for it, then what do you got? You only have yourself to blame. And the signs are clear. One of them is that you're tuning in here to The Deen Show. And continue to tune in every week. And call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM, to start a healthy dialogue. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.